And there's purpose in what I taught. This week, God told me, he says, you've got to choose a wide open life. In other words, you've got to be open to what I'm going to ask you to do. Many of you under the sound of my voice, if you haven't already, things are coming in your path where God's going to ask you to step out in faith and do things for him and for the kingdom. I bless God. We have so many new things going on and so many new faces that are stepping up and taking charge of like the cafe and you know, all the ministries that we offer here. And I bless God for every one of those. It's such an encouragement for the pastors of this church and for the congregation to see God bring people in that's willing to step out in faith and do what God has called them to do. And I want to talk to you today about living a small life. Are you living a small life? And as I was putting together last week's sermon, these scriptures came to me, and I didn't give anyone these scriptures, and I don't know if they were able to even get my text today, but I'll read them for you. I'll work hard for you, so don't worry about that. But 2 Corinthians 6 and 11 through 13 in the Message Bible, it has some interesting wordage. I love to read the New King James. I like the King James, which was what I brought up on. But the Message Bible, sometimes I like to check what's written there because it just sparks things in me. And when I read a scripture and words stick out to me is the best way I can say it. They just kind of cling to you. Have you ever had that when you read this word of God? That's the Holy Spirit trying to guide you somewhere. So let me tell you, it's not always, the angels singing and Sonia, this is the message. Okay, no, it doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, it's never worked that way for me. So I don't want you to think that what God gives me, he wouldn't give to anyone else. You've just got to be willing. It's just got to be what God, it's usually just a word. You know, a lot of times God comes down and I hate to say this, but he'll go, did you get that? Did you get that? That's usually more where I'm at most days. But sometimes I have learned in my ministry that when words and phrases stick with me, that is the guidance of a Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, I'm not going to say he don't wake me up sometimes and say things to me. He does. And I praise God for that because it lets me know that I'm still in connection with the Father. And but he's no respecter of person, the Bible says. If he talks to me, he's going to talk to you. You just got to have the ears to hear. But, okay, so don't expect angels and the like. You know, have you all heard those new, those little Teslas? What is those, Teslas? They go around electric cars and they sound like that. And every time you hear it, you think it's like angels coming. It's like, God, is that you? No, it's just one of those cars. Okay, I'm still looking for that moment, I guess. But anyway, so 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 13, this was just where it was birthed, and I want to read it to you. It says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I thought that was great. And that explains a lot of things. Now, the New King James Version of that verse says, you are not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. And King James says, you are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. And straightened means to be hemmed in closely or cramped. So I want you to look at your life in the spiritual sense. Are you living a small life? Well, I want you to tell you, I'm here to tell you today, God doesn't want you to live the small life. Now, yes, you will start out in the small beginnings. And I can tell you my story. It is probably similar to anybody else that has any kind of position in this church, or any church for that matter. We started out small. I was a pastor's daughter, raised and born in Kentucky under a pastor, my father, and I cleaned churches. I've still cleaned churches. thanks be to God, Sister Glenda took it upon her heart to release my husband and I from that in the last few months. But I've been serving God by cleaning churches, by being faithful, coming to church every day, by doing what God has called me to do. And, you know, I had ideas that it would this would happen and that would happen, and it never did because those were the wrong doors. I had my own ideas, but God had his own idea. I married my husband, and he told me one day, he says, I'm sitting in the church parking lot on a Wednesday night, and he's at work, and he calls me, and he says, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting at church waiting on you. He says, I'm not going to make it. You know, I'm going to have to work over. And I was like, okay. He says, you know, I have married a preacher. And I was like, you bite your tongue. No way. It's like, man, that's blaspheming in my house. I ain't going there because, you know, I ran from God for a long, long time. And even when I got myself straight and back together and back in God and into church, I still was running to a certain extent. I have served in ministry all my life, worked with the children. As my children were growing, I worked wherever they were because I wanted to be involved with what they were being taught and who they were around. You know, just because we're in church don't mean that the enemy don't have his hand in things sometimes. And I'm not talking about the people that were leading, but you never know who else is around. But so I worked in children's ministry for a long, long time until my children were out of that. And then I still served. Vacation Bible schools, I did that until I just couldn't do it no more. I was like, I'm tired. Y'all killing me. I can give you one night a week, and then I'm going to have to rest for two or three after that because, you know, this girl pulls down 40 hours at work and then go home and 40 or 80 hours at home with mom, you know, as mom and chauffeur and, you know, whatever sports they were in, whatever school they were into. Thank God I had great Benny's parents were involved, so they helped immensely, you know, but still a lot of the burden was on the parents to do. But so I have served in what some might call small. I just was service to God. So don't despise the small beginnings. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living a small life. I'm talking about not allowing God's word to be authority in your life and walking in the path that maybe he's called you to do. So if you're one of those, the sermon's for you. And if not, listen to it anyways. It's still for you. God gave it to me. We find many reasons to be small. The other day, someone asked me at work about my job or something I was doing. I said, you know, sometimes I just don't want to be seen. I just want to come in, do my job, and go home. I want to be seen, unseen. I want to be small. I don't want nobody coming to ask me stuff. I don't have a clue. They call that playing dumb, but or being blonde. I don't know. Either way, I sometimes fit both. But anyway, but in the kingdom of God, God calls you to this wide open life. Wide open to him and to what he wants you to do. And I want to talk about, there is probably two reasons that we don't submit to that wide open life. It's usually fear and it's unbelief. Now, you can give many other reasons. I'm like, you know, what was that Moses said? I stutter. You know, I have slow speech, you know. We can come up with all kinds of things. I just, you know, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not real lively, and I'm not all this. And I can look at Nellie, and Nellie, I call her the cheerleader because that girl is rah, rah, rah all the time. Rah, rah, rah all the time. I was like, girl, I just need you in my presence to rah, rah, rah me all the time because that is her calling. She's spunky. And as I've gotten older, I appreciate that a lot more. I'm not saying that, you know, anyways. But we think of many reasons why. Well, you know, I can't do it like Sister So-and-so, or I'm not like Sister Brother So-and-so, or Sister this, or Sister that. No, God called you with a specific purpose, and you are fit for that purpose. But we can't learn to live with fear and unbelief. That is not what a child of God is called to do. But I want to talk about the disciples. If you want to turn to Mark 4, this is where the majority of the sermons will come from. Mark 4. And I'm starting out in the New King James Version. And I want you to understand, it's so great. I love the Bible because it teaches us that they were human too. Every one of them. Here is the disciples. They have been with him 3 years, you know, close to 2.5. They had seen him do some miraculous things, unheard of, unhuman things. They have seen him open blinded eyes, cause the lame to walk, heal leprosy, raise the dead, feed 5,000 with like 2 small fish and 5 loaves a little boy brought. They had seen him do some great things, but yet they were still human, and so are we. So I want to read Mark 4, verses 35 through 41, and I want to just talk about it. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to break it down. It says, on the same day, now he was preaching a whole sermon above that. You can read the rest of it. I'll read a little bit of it. But it says, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Those were Jesus' words. Let's go to the other side. Let us cross over. He's like, we're going with me. Let's go. Now, when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was. Emphasis is coming, okay? There's a reason why I'm doing it. I'm emphasizing those words. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, talking about Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not understand that we are perishing? How many of y'all had that cry out? God, do you not see the storm? What am I going through? Ooh, be careful. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, now he's looking at the men that have seen him do some great things. Great things. And this is what he says. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Walked with him daily. Slept with him. Took meals with him. Listened to every word that he has said. Seen him do these great miracles that no one could explain. Seeing the Pharisees and the Sadducees come after him because they didn't like the way he did things. He was, you know, claiming to be something that they thought he wasn't. How many of you all today have experienced great things in your life that God has done for you? It may not be a flat-out miracle, but I'm telling you, if you're walking and living and breathing in this world, with salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ, he pulled you from somewhere. I can guarantee you. And they were fearful and did not believe. Let's break it down. Right above that, chapter 4, verses 14 through 20, he had just given a sermon. And he said many things, but I want to emphasize this one. And it's the one about the sower and the seed. Verses 14 through 20, this is King James Version. It said, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and he take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground. He's explaining the parable to the disciples. He said, who, when they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, but and have no root in themselves. So endure But for a time afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, not for their sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, and enter in, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are them, they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. That was his explanation of the seed and sower parable that he read. He's talking to the disciples, giving them this understanding. But I want you to understand, keep in the back of your mind, even on the good ground, there was different amounts of produce, production. Some 60, some 30, some 60, some 100. And I want to be the 100%. I don't want to live such a small life that I'm just willing to do 30 or 40 or 50. I want God, what he pours into me, to produce 100%. But it takes not wanting a small life, not shrinking back from what God has asked you to do, what word is coming to you. So let me just go through it quickly. The wayside, noticed it got to the heart, but they allowed Satan to come and take it quickly. The stony ground, they had no root, so it didn't last. When trials and tribulations came for what they thought they were standing for, showed up, they quickly became offended by it. And the ones among the thorns, it was choked out. I don't know, but I have this image of what Pastor talks about, him and Miriam choking him out all the time. But anyway, so I'm trying to get past that and not getting that rabbit hole. But the cares of this world come and choke them out. You know what that looks like sometimes? I've got to be at work. Sister Lisa testified about that in her service. Go back and read about it. I got this to do. I got that to do. I've got to go over here and take care of this one. I'm telling you, when the word comes to you, whether it be the spoken word or the written word, you have a responsibility to it. But God's not going to force you. You have free will. You can choose. But I'm telling you, you want to live a wide open life when it comes to him spiritually. Whatever you say, Father, whatever you say, Holy Spirit, wherever you guide me, I'm going to go. That's what we're talking about, a wide open life. So on the good ground, notice they heard, received, brought forth fruit, but some were different. So I believe one of the reasons Jesus explained this to them was to give them a warning, of course, how to receive the word of God. And you know what? It's so funny. He gave them that knowledge, and they were immediately put, all that was put to test, right? They had to go get in that boat. Word of God is the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, New Living Translation says, therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you receive his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. You got to believe. Because you know what? God's going to ask you to do some stuff that in the natural don't look possible. Just like you have an enemy that he's already defeated, but because the Holy Spirit lives in you, trying to fight him in your own self, and he's going to whoop you up one side down the other, my mother would say. Because until I have God on my side, until I do what God asked me to do, until I use the name of Jesus, my sword and my shield, you know, shield is faith, right? Mm-hmm. The sword is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Yeah. Unbelief and fear. Come on, you got weapons against all that. And if you believe, it works. I have seen ladies going against terrible things in their lives, and mentally, it's a mental thing. And they're sitting in the chair and they're rocking back and forth and they're quoting scriptures. I'm like, girl, unless you believe in that word, it's not going to work for you. Get up. Tell the enemy he has no authority. And you go in peace. That God's going to work it out. Don't care what you see. Don't care what you even know. God has a plan. He goes before you. And when we say that, that means whatever provision you're going to need on that trip, that journey, or in that particular time, he's got it already laid out for you. He has prepared the way. On the way in this morning, Dawn and I were talking about her home and how valuable it was to her. And I said, Donna, you know, God knew that you were going to need that right now at this time of your life. And he gave that home to you years and years ago before it became a necessity for you to have that home. And now it's a blessing because she couldn't go anywhere else. She said, they want me to sell my house and move, but I'd be paying more in rent than what I pay to live in my home. And I'd have less space. Might have to live on a third floor. And, you know, God knew that this time in her life was going to happen. And so that house was given to her as an inheritance, as she called it, an inheritance. And it's a provision for her now that she's living in that God made arrangements years ago. And he's not going to just do it for her. He does it for all his children. All his children. And I'm sure if I pass the mic around, everybody could tell a story because, my God, he's a good, good father. He's a good father. The word of God helps build up your faith. Now, Romans 10 and 17 in the Good News Translation said, so then faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ. We say the faith comes by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. So you are given faith, but how does it grow? Well, let me tell you, it's not going to grow if it's all sunshine. No. How many of y'all have plants at home? What does it take to grow? Good ground and water and sunlight. So you can't have one of the, you know, too much of one. You got to have a good amount of everything. So your faith is not going to grow on blessed sunny days every day. No. You got to have that cloud come over every once in a while. And God said, that's okay, I got it. I know you see it. I know you're going through it. I know you're experiencing it. You know, like the guys in the boat, he said, just get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Simple instructions. An enemy showed up, didn't he? Let's read James 1, 5 and 8. This is the Good News Translation. It's, but if any of you lack wisdom, you shall pray to God who will give it to you. No questions asked. Just ask. It's yours. He's a good father. Because God gives generously and graciously to all. But when you pray, you must believe and not doubt at all. Whoever doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and blown about by the wind. You ever been in a boat where the storm is, the waves are rough, and I have motion sickness issues. So when I get in a boat, it's like I gotta be on calm water. Not good. Poor little Benny ended up having surgery at one point because he like threw up so hard and violently he tore loose stuff that had to be put back together, fixed, or taken out. It was a bad day to go fishing, but we were out there fishing. And so when you are doubting God's word. Don't be surprised if you get motion sickness. Because that enemy, he's going to keep rocking that boat. Yeah, you think you believe in that. Yeah, let me rock it a little more. We're going to shove you over here and over. And I'm going to get sick talking about it. I'm going to stop. But you get the point. Doubt opens the door for the enemy's hand to come in. Let's see. Let's look at the breakdown. So the first thing was, he had just taught them the story about how to receive the word of God, and they in the boat waking him up because the storm happened. I want to go back and read what I thought was great. It said, the first thing that says, as he was. I have read that story a million times and never caught that. as he was. Some version says he was already in the boat. But let me tell you something. When God comes to you with a word, you got to take it as it is. There ain't no two ways about it. It's the truth. It's truth. I don't care if he said you're going to have a worldwide ministry. I'm going to stand on it. Praise God. And I'm going to do everything within my power to push myself forward with the word of God that has been spoken over me and told to me. He's given you dreams. He's given you ideas and feelings. And if they weren't line up with the word of God, then it's going to be true. It's truth. I'm gonna push myself to that. But, you know, they were in the boat. And they said they take him as it is. You know, I was reading Jesus praying on John 17. He was praying over the disciples, praying over his people, just in general. And he said, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is true. It's the truth. When he speaks, whether it be the written word that we read in our Bibles every day or a word that he has spoken to you, it's the truth. It will be done. You can take it to the bank, as some people say. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because, you know, Jesus was the word that became human, right? It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when he spoke with the Father. He spoke truth. The word gives you life. John 6 and 63 says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life, but human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very word I have spoken to you are the Spirit and life. John 6 and 63, that's New Living Translation. This morning he woke me up because I had written the second point on this was other little boats. Remember they said there were other little boats with them? That can also be, you know, your small beginnings. Don't worry about the small beginnings. And he took me to Zechariah 4, and it talked to Zerubbabel, who went in, who had this task. He was the guy that come from Babylon, the Babylon exile. He was sent by Cyrus to go and rebuild the temple of God. And he was the first wave that come in. And he's like, you know, God, you brought me all this. This is my words. You brought me all this. This is a great task. You go in and it's devastated. The place is in ruins. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to do this? But he gives him this wonderful vision. Look at 3 and 4 of chapters. You can see where he talked about the prophet or the high priest Joshua and Zechariah's promise. And he's going to be with him. But he says this real great thing. He says, don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise it. It's just a beginning. He says, but I'm going to rejoice when I see the plumb line in your hand, Zerubbabel. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So don't despise the beginnings, the small beginnings. And the Lord said unto him, well done, my good and faithful child. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's Matthew 25 and 23. That's the parable of the talents. Each one of you have a talent. Each one of you have a talent. God has given it to you. How are you using it? Are you keeping it small? Are you putting it into use? It's a wonderful chapter. But the other thing it taught me about is who are you associated with? The other small boats. Do you ever been around people that just want to keep you down, don't want you to have any good? Cut some ties, baby. It's not hurt you for. It says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. So let me explain to you how Paul dealt with that. Because, you know, I'm going to set you free. There are some people you are sent to. And when God sends you, you go. But understand your assignment. And there are some people that are sent to you from the enemy. So be very careful. So 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is talking to them. And there is a man in the church who was in in sin, living in sin. And Paul was talking to the church about this. Now, I'm not talking about those that aren't in the church. This, you know, I'm talking about the children of God. They're people. And he said this thing which just floored me. It says, to deliver saved in the day of and unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. He told the church, because this man is living in sin and unrepentant, you've got to cut your ties. Cut your ties. Deliver him unto Satan. In other words, let him have his way away from you. What does the Bible say? Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Who you associate with is very important. And Paul also, so this must have been a standard. Paul also talked about this in First Timothy 1 and 20 between Hananias and Alexander. He said, I delivered them unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. They had taken up, they believe, with false doctrine and was teaching false doctrine. Paul's like, I've delivered them to Satan. I've cut my ties with them. So let me tell you, it says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, a covetous, an idler, a railer, a drunkard, extortion, with such and one, no, not to eat, not even to have dinner with them. So who is your small boats that you associate with? So I've just given you authority to cut those ties. As a mother, when you have children and they're going through, or as a parent, period, you're going through hard times, and you know they've made a decision that's going to come back and get them one day, going to bite them right in the derriere. And so you stay, we think as parents, we stay in their lives because we think we'll be there to catch them when they fall. But I have learned really quick that that is a horrible road to travel. It tears your heart apart knowing that the life that they have chose to live. And you think, okay, I'll just stay in it. But every day it's torture and it's pain because you know that you raised them better. You taught them better. But they chose a different path. And you're thinking, I'll be there when they fall. But I have learned when they fall, you're the last person they call. Because they usually dig up somebody that's living in the hellish life that they're living in, and they run to that person. So let me tell you, take it serious when you turn them over to Satan. I'm not saying don't love them. I'm not saying not pray for them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying cut the ties of something that will drag you down and keep you in a place that God doesn't want you to be in. Who are your small boats? So notice, as soon as they got in the boat, the storm came up. They heard all this great preaching and teaching about accepting the word of God. And as soon as they get in the boat, the enemy shows up. And he didn't show up physically. He just sent a storm. He sent some wind and he sent some water. The wind and water, of course, it was so funny. I told this a long time ago in one of my teachings. You know, the storm is okay. It's when you allow it to get in the boat in you, then it becomes a problem, right? It's okay out here. But when I allow it in here and in here, then it becomes a deathly issue. Yes. So wind and the rain represent the negative, and God's word is the truth. So where are you? What are you letting in your boat? God told you to go and go to the other side. And along the way, something shows up, and you're going to listen to that. You're going to let that distract you and make you veer off your course? That's not what God said, right? He said, I told you to go to the other side. But you know what? We reason things away. We do. We're reasoning things away. God told me to do something one time, and I didn't do it. I looked at the situation. Don't do that. Don't use your own wisdom. Think you're smarter than God. I was like, they don't need that. They don't need that. Well, what I didn't know was, yes, they did need that. Had I had done what God had told me to do, the hardship would have probably been alleviated, or at least to a certain extent. But I looked at the situation. I thought, they're okay. They're doing fine. And to my shame, later I realized it was not God's will for me to say that. And I was disobedient to God. So don't let what you see, the fear, the unbelief, what you think is right, do what God says to do. He says, stop doing this, you stop doing that. He says, go there, you go there. He says, go here, you go here. Whatever God says, you do it. One time my husband was out mowing the lawn, and our son was very young. He was toddling around. He had one of those plastic lawnmowers. I've told this story before, but it's a wonderful example. And I wasn't even in church because I'd run from God. And I was sitting in the house, and him and his daddy was outside mowing the lawn. And the idea of just the snake come to my head, and I immediately, it's amazing how we'll do this for our kids, immediately, we won't do it for ourselves, immediately dropped what I was doing. I think I was washing dishes, and I went outside, and I scooped him up, plastic lawnmower and all, and I brought him back in the house and shut the door. My husband came in within a minute. He said, how did you know? I said, what are you talking about? He said, there was a snake in the yard right where the sun was. I said, I don't know. Just God told me, I guess. I went out and I scooped him up. But we won't save ourselves that way, will we? No. So my husband learned real quick, you know what? I've determined that we women, we heard the serpent speak first. So be very careful, because you have discernment, women of God. I'm not saying the men don't have any less, but I'm just saying you heard him talk. You heard him first, probably. So believe, even when the storm arises. How is it that I don't live a small life for God? Jesus taught in the story, Mark 4 and 30, if you want to read the chapters about the mustard seed. He taught. He said, it's the smallest seed, but it produces a great big tree. It grows up and becomes greater than any herb, any shoot, any large branches. It shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may have nest under its shade. Do you know that your small seed of faith, not fear, not doubt, will produce something greater even beyond you? And it will bless many others in your life and those you don't even know. So we must allow to live a wide open life with God. Let my faith grow. God, you told me to step out in faith and do this, and I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see what you're going to do with it. I've learned to say that. Okay, God, I'm going to do it, but I can't wait to see what you're going to do, because Lord knows I can't see anything right now. Nothing good out of it. So we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be resting in the boat, comfortable, in confidence in his word. He said, we're going to the other side. What did he tell him? He said, did I not tell you? Why do you not believe? Why are you fearful? We're going to the other side. So God wants you to walk in that same peace, even in the storm. What did Jesus say? My peace I give you, not the peace the world gives you. My peace I give you. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but that's okay. Take heart. I overcame the world for you. That I had that last part, but that's what he did. He says, I'm going to give you peace. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he always goes through everything with us. And Isaiah 43, 1 through 4, it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Oh, let me start from the beginning. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, who created you," he brought you new, something new, new existence. He brings something into existence that wasn't before. "I created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you." So not only did he create you, as Brother John has been saying, a new creation, he says, "I formed you," which means I am shaping you and molding you for purpose. "O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." If you want to know about the Father's children, listen to Wednesday night service that I taught. Oh my gosh. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 18. "He moved heaven and earth to get to you. And he'll do it again and again and again, whenever is necessary." The Father's child. He says, "When you pass through the waters," sometimes you're going to pass through the waters, because you know half the fun is the journey, right? Most parents would disagree with that. But God says it's true. "I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflood you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia, Saba, in your place, since you were precious in my sight." Doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It's all about him and what he thinks about you. He says you can trip multiple times, but if you'll get back up, dust yourself off, get forgiveness if you need to, I'm going to help you keep going. We have purpose. You have a plan. I have somewhere for you to be. I don't care what the people are saying and what they're doing. I have purpose for you. My word is true. Let's keep going forward. Don't choose the small life. Don't stay down. Don't worry about the waters. Don't worry about the flood. Don't even worry about the fire. He says, "I'm going to be with you through it all." And as I said earlier, he's already endured it all for you, so that he knows the right path to get you through. He has created you and he has formed you. Something we must do at times is rebuke the enemy's roadblocks. In the fear, they woke him up and said, "Do you not care that we're going to die, Lord?" How many of y'all been like that? I'll put my hands up. Y'all sit there and look like you're saints, okay? It's all right. The camera's on me. It's okay. I have literally gone over to the corner there and put my face in the wall and cried. I said, "Lord, do you not see what's going on? And you expect me to stand behind that pulpit with a smile on my face?" Because yes. He says, "I do. I expect you to walk in faith, Sonia. You may not feel it. You may not see it. I expect you to stand out here in faith and show me that you believe what you're teaching and what I said." I have. I've stood over in that corner and cried and then come out here and teach the word as God gave it to me. And that's no different for any of you. There'll be times you'll be doing God's work and you'll go through some of the worst storms of your life. And it's okay. You have brothers and sisters who care for you and love you and pray for you. And we are sure that God is going to walk you through it all. So sometimes you have to get up and rebuke the wind and speak to the sea when the enemy tries to hinder the word that God has given you. You take authority and power in the name of Jesus to stop his plans. Matthew 4 and 24, it says, "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to who you hear more, and to you who hear more will be given. For whoever has, to him has him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. That's be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Whatever he said, be a doer. You know, James 1 and 22, we talked about that. It says, but be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. And he observes and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the declaration of righteousness and salvation by Christ, and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God has given us provision. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. He gave me authority. You know, when he sent out the 72, they returned and they were all excited because the demons were subject over them. The demons were subject to them in Jesus' name. And he says, listen, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He says, behold, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, but don't rejoice because you have that power and authority. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life in heaven. So he has given you all you need through indwelling of Holy Spirit to walk through whatever comes your way. No matter what the enemy has brought forth, you just stick with Jesus and the word. What does the word say about it? That's what I believe. That's what's going to be. God told me I'm going to get through this. I'm going to have to walk through it. I'm not going to walk through it alone. And I'm going to get through it. May not be right now. May not be tomorrow. But I'm going to get through it. Pastor was talking to him yesterday, and he told me some good news. And I said, you know, I know God's not done yet. I expected you to live because I know God's not done yet. And that was the faith I was walking on. It's not done yet. I want to give you another example of Mark 16. I'm almost done. I promise. Mark 16. Now here's the disciples. Jesus has been crucified. They have gotten through the storm. They watched him be crucified. And they're sitting around. And this is what it reads. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In my name. You know, again, he's rebuking them because they didn't believe. They didn't believe the ones that came to him and said, we have seen him alive. Do you base your belief on only what you can see? Only what you can feel? Only what you can hear? What you can reason out? So many times we do that, don't we? But you have to remember, you serve a mighty God. A mighty God. I had a report from one of my pastor friends. She's a cousin of mine, and she's helping her dad pastor a church back where I grew up. And they had an altar call one time for women who were trying to become pregnant. And this lady came up, and she'd been trying for 6 years. And they had posted a picture of her child that was conceived after the prayers. So now she is pregnant with the promise of God. Some of you are still that walking testimony. Sister Shaniqua that used to be here, she got herself together. God told her, says, get healthy. I'll give you a boy. I'll give you a son. And she did. And God kept his word. And she has a child to this day, Mr. Levi. That's one of many things that he can do. He can do all things are possible in Christ Jesus. All things. So we have to realize it's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? What's keeping you from living this wide open, spacious, that anything is possible with my God life? What is causing you to live a small life? Is it fear? Is it unbelief? Are you looking at yourself and saying, I can't do it, but God has asked me to do it? You ought to know he's going to help you do it. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. If you get nothing out of this sermon today, remember that. He's going to ask you to do things that are impossible to you. Would I believe that I'd been standing here 8 or 6 years ago? No. But I had a desire in my heart, and I had men and women in this church that Sonia said, Sonia, you need to get up. And I would sit in that chair back there, and I would be so convicted because when the preaching went forth, I knew that there was a calling on my life. But I had been running from it for so, so long. And I learned not to step out, but Sister Miriam, she's standing down here one day, and I was up there, my husband and I sitting, and I was praying, and she kept turning around. She said, woman of God, you have got to get in church. You've got to get down here with us. And Pastor called me not too long ago and asked me to head up the Sunday school. And I was sitting there. I remember driving thinking, oh, my God, that's such a big responsibility. But God had put that desire in my heart to teach the army of God, to bring forth the word, to encourage you and to help you overcome in our lives every obstacle in the way. And then the door come open. Pastor recommended me for the Church of God ministry, and that's where I've got my certification, if you want to call that. But it was a process. It just didn't happen just as, you know, I had to keep stepping out in faith and stepping out in faith. And my husband, I'm thankful that I have a husband that pushes me and keeps me in line. I told you last week about that. But he would take time off from work, because it is required that both people attend the ministry class. So every Wednesday that we had class, he would go with me and miss so much work. He'd miss a whole day's work. And when you're self-employed, that's quite important. But he was sowing into a ministry. He was believing God for what he had promised. And if you are in ministry and you have a spouse that supports you, God, you are blessed. Because I've seen it the other way around, and it's never pretty. God will provide regardless of what it is. But what is the mountain in your life that's keeping you in a small life? What is your excuse? What is greater than your God? Who competes with him in your life to keep you small, to keep you from stepping out into the calling that he's asked you to do? The time is coming. We're all going through something. Let me tell you something. When you go through something and you come out on the other side, God has something great for you. And he's going to be asking some of you all to step out and to do some things that maybe you're not comfortable with. But if God has asked you to do it, then I submit that you get it together and do what God has asked you to do. Don't live a small life. You are called to be great in the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have riches and you're going to have cars and you're going to have houses and you're going to have this big international. I don't know what God's called you to do. It may be, but to be great in the kingdom is so much more than to be great in this world. Because the great with the world comes with trouble and trials and tribulations, and you have no help when it comes to that. But to be great in the kingdom, God is always by your side. You're never left alone. Ask yourself, are you living a small life? And if you are, I guarantee you it's fear or unbelief. It may have other names, but they can open, when you open the door to them, they bring all their friends with them. It's one of the two. Help. Go to him. Say, God, what is it? Show me. And he will help you root that thing, pull that thing, root and all, out of your heart and out of your mind. And he will give you the strength to do what he's asked you to do if you will open your heart and ask him to live that wide open life. Father, I thank you for the word that you have given us, for everything that you are preparing us for. I know this is preparation, Lord. I know there are people sitting under the sound of my voice that's going to do great and mighty things for the kingdom of God. I know there are people here that are already walking into situations and callings that you have given them. And I pray that you strengthen them even further from this service, from the words that you have given us. I pray that Growth Temple Ministry will make a mark on the map. That the people here, when they go out, when they walk out with Holy Spirit, that people will take notice and see the light that shines from them. Because it's only you that's within us that can bring that light. Give us the wisdom and understanding we need at the times that we need it. Give us the courage and the boldness to live a wide open life for you, Lord. To come to you and say, God, whatever you want me to do, you show me. You lead me. You guide me. You direct me. You be my hands and feet. You be my mouth, Lord. Let me be the vessel that you use in that ministry. And God, I know that you have work for all of us to do, because nothing in your hands is naught. It always is created and formed for purpose. And I thank you, Lord. I pray that your blessings upon our people, upon our pastors. Keep us safe. Bring us back again at the next appointed time. And in Jesus' name, the name above every name, the name above fear, the name above sickness, the name above unbelief, I pray, amen.